The liturgical church calendar calls this day Epiphany, or the baptism of our Lord Sunday. Epiphany literally means to shine up on. Epiphany may also be interpreted as to shed light or to appear. In this instance, it is when God shows up or is present. We know the story of the wise men coming to worship Christ, but the question of the hour must arise as to why God revealed Christ to these men from the east. The first strike against them was they were Gentiles and not Jews, the original chosen people of God. And the second blemish was that they were astrologers. Now, astrology was considered a science, but frowned upon by the Jewish religious leaders as being of a foreign element, akin today by some superstitious people in the church, similar to what some people think about Ouija boards and tarot cards as a tool of the devil. Today we chuckle at the thought of astrology, but believe it or not, less than 200 years ago, it was viewed not just a science, but given approval by the church. Queen Elizabeth I, not the second, but the first, had her own royal astrologer, John Dee, at her court. The scripture also reveals that the wise men brought gifts to Christ. These Gentiles and these astrologers were the only documented human beings in the Bible who took presents to our Lord. The Epiphany depicts these gifts as symbolic equivalents to the blessings that God gives us. Blessings that are free and yet precious. Remember, some gifts which are free have little quality. We read about those gimmicks which guarantee us something that looks highly valued with an expensive look, but it usually isn't what is expected or the high standards anticipated. We hear the well-used phrase, it's the gift that counts, not the thought. Really does not hold water with some people. Remember Christmas? Did you give gifts to some people when they opened them, they kind of had a sour look on their face? Or they said, oh, is that what they got me? Do I really need that? And so you could tell the lack of appreciation. Maybe they didn't need it, but they didn't have to demonstrate it in facial tones, did they? But you know, several years ago, there was a contestant on a television game show. I'm going to tell you, it was The Price is Right. And she went ballistic because she wanted a new automobile, but instead won a washing machine. She accused the game show of being rigged. She expected a gift on her own terms. Of course, the show wasn't rigged, and the contestant hopefully now is enjoying and contented by doing her laundry with her new washing machine. Gifts, regardless of their origin, should be cherished, not for their material value, but for its worth and love. I guess I have a room full of little whatnots, knickknacks that people through the years in the churches have given me, and I don't get rid of them. They're good memories to think about. They're not worth much money, but they're nostalgia, and they bring back memories of those people. Some are not even here. They're in heaven now. So I think regardless of the gift or the value of it, we should cherish every gift received. And today's message explains the story of gifts given to Christ, and they represent something Christ would one day give to everyone as found in salvation. In our world, it is a comforting thought to have security. So many people are affected by security issues, whether it is a job, bank account, medical, or even family. It increases our stress and anxiety when it isn't known if we are going to be taken care of during a life crisis. There's another kind of security, and it's called emotional security. This security gives people a healthy dose of self-esteem. When a person grows up with a strong sense of being loved, they are much more able to cope with the stresses and anxieties of life. In the ancient world, Gold was the gift for royalty. Christ was the proclaimed king by his followers, and ironically later his enemies at the crucifixion proclaimed him king. You remember, they gave him a purple robe to wear and they mocked him and they called him Hail King of the Jews. And so he got that label several times. The image of Christ who provides security is truly symbolic of the gold presented to Mary and Joseph while he was a toddler. God declared that he loves all people, and we truly have eternal security because God's grace is forever. As children of God, we are much more able to cope with the stresses of life because of God's unconditional love. Gold is a metaphor for us in the sense of ultimate security, which God desires for us. The second gift can be called the gift of hope, whereas the first one was the gift of security, and it's the gift of frankincense. The gift of frankincense. It was a pleasant-smelling incense used in the temple by the priest, and it was given to Christ by the wise men. It demonstrated the image that Christ is our priest. He intercedes for us to God for both good and bad times. People without hope are desperate creatures. Without hope, there is not much of a future to live. In fact, frankincense was known in the Holy Land for centuries. In fact, there's a legend that the Queen of Sheba brought it to King Solomon as a gift. And this gift came from down in what is now Somaliland in the Horn of Africa. And so she introduced it to the Israelites. Frankincense represents the blessing which bonds us into a closer relationship with God. The third gift, myrrh, can symbolize mercy. Myrrh was a burial spice used for embalming in ancient times. Strangely, this gift points to the fact that Christ's child was born to give us life. The reasoning is so that we could know God's salvation. In this case, myrrh represented the ultimate mission of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, as we will recite in the Apostles' Creed in a few moments. King Herod must have been irritated greatly at these people from the east who, in his opinion, apparently did not care about paying obedience to him, but to a child in Bethlehem. Though the scripture is silent about this part, the wise men may be out of protocol, possibly presented King Herod with gifts like those they would give to Christ. But Herod wanted no competition. It says very plainly that Herod was not the only one disturbed. The people in Jerusalem were disturbed too. Why is that? Well, if there's a rival, something's going to happen. You know, back in the days of King Henry VIII, when he declared himself Defender of the Faith, a title which was given to him by the Pope, and decided to break away from the Roman Catholic Church, that's when he ransacked the monasteries and abbeys in England. Those places were wealthy. But the reason they were the economic centers of every community in England. And guess what? When he did that and told the nobility and everybody else, well, go and ransack them for your benefit. Do you know that England endured a depression for almost 100 years? Because the livelihoods were so affected. It was like a ripple effect. It destroyed the economy of England. And so it took them years to recover. Now you see those beautiful ruins of those abbeys over in England. They make wonderful photographs. But it is sad to say that they were destroyed by greedy people. And that's what happened there. So, you know, the wise men came in on this. They were from, well, they're not actually for sure, they may have come from Persia. They could have come from India. There's really no absolute knowledge of where they did come in from. But you know, Herod was in no mood to receive a consolation prize, as did that confrontational contestant on The Price is Right. Sometimes our actions may have the best intentions. However, they can instigate someone's behavior into wrath at the slightest gesture. It could be an innocent comment or remark, a kindly action. It could be toward a third party or an involvement in a feud that's been going on for years. For a person who has low self-esteem, lack of a balanced point of view, paranoia, emotional instability, or any gesture toward others may be seen as hostile. I'm sure each of us have had moments in our lives where we walked into something blindly and didn't know what the background was. You know, first thing I learned as a preacher years ago is don't talk about anybody in the church because you don't know who they're kin to or related to. And that holds very true today. You have to be careful. You don't want to step in on something that may cause conflict, because some people are much more sensitive about that, and here comes an innocent party in, not aware of what's going on. So it still goes on today. We still have our King Herods, not as brutal as that man was, but there are still King Herods, and I guarantee you every one of us have either run into one or going to run into one. So we see here that with gold, frankincense, and myrrh were delivered to probably a little shack by that time. Mary and Joseph had probably moved to a little place, not the stable. And they were poor as Job's turkey. They really were. They were so poor, it was unbelievable. Legend has it that Mary rode into Bethlehem on a donkey. And so, you know, there were a lot of things that you could tell they were dirt poor. But can you imagine receiving these expensive gifts like gold, frankincense, and myrrh? It says in the scripture, in Luke, that Mary kept all these things in her heart. And at the same time, here they were with all this wonderful gold and frankincense and myrrh. Didn't know probably what to do with it, but it came in handy. Do you remember a little while later, Herod declared that he was going to have all the young boys 2 years and under put to death? That was Joseph Q. He better make a quick exit with his family. And they immigrated to Egypt. And I'm sure that gold helped them set up a temporary household there until they could return back to Palestine. And they ended up going to Nazareth, of course. So it was all planned out. And the reason was these wise men brought them what they needed to sustain their livelihood. Such marvelous gifts that are offered to us, which includes salvation by Christ, whose birthday we just celebrated, should be embraced with gratitude. God declares that these gifts are blessings, are free, yet priceless. It is through applying our faith, loving others, and sharing God's grace that we receive the riches of the blessings. It may be said that those three gifts bequeathed is better than any life insurance. Security, hope, and mercy. God wants for our lives, and they're eternal, and they last forever. This morning, let us recommit ourselves to honor Jesus Christ as we may love others as our Lord would desire. Let us pray. Lord, on this Epiphany Sunday and this baptismal day, we give ourselves to you anew. We ask, O God, as we start this new year off, that we can walk in your presence and we can follow what you want us to do. Help and guide us when we are not aware of things around us. Guide us, O Lord, even when we walk into situations blindly, but we know you are there with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. We give thanks always through Christ our Lord. Amen.